Today on Real Radio.
We need to have God leading in our lives. And I'm encouraged by the message this morning because it is not all that clear to Paul. God's leading. Don't you think the apostles woke up in the morning and God said, okay, Paul the apostle, this is what I want you to do today. No, didn't happen that way. Paul, at 9 o'clock, you're going to be meeting a man over here by the temple. No. God does speak. And often in the forming of the New Testament times, God spoke audibly.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his verse-by-verse series through the book of Acts. We begin looking at chapter 16. Now, this is a real interesting passage because Paul takes some directions from God the Holy Spirit. As we might expect, he was instructed to preach in certain towns and regions. But at one point, the Spirit of Almighty God forbade the preaching in Asia. No matter how much Paul wanted to do so, he had to obey. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs in a presentation called Follow the Leader.
It all depends on who you've set up in your own heart as who the leader might be. For us, as with Joshua, for us in this house, we will follow the Lord. We will serve Him. But in Acts chapter 16, we're going to see what it entails and what we need to do and be sensitive about concerning following Jesus Christ. And we'll begin right now in verse 1 of Acts 16. It says there, then he, that is Paul, came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was Greek. He was well spoken of by the brethren who are at Lystra and Iconium, and Paul wanted to have him go with them. And he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in that region, for they all knew that his father was Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered to them the decrees to keep, which were determined by the apostles and the elders at Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in the number daily. Now when they had gone through Perga and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Therefore, sailing from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and the next day came to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of that part of Macedonia, a colony, and we were staying in that city for some days. And on the Sabbath day, we went out to the city, to the riverside, where prayer was customarily made, and we sat down and spoke to the women who met there. Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshiped God. And the Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, if you judge me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. And she constrained us. We want to talk about this morning following the leader. If you're a Christian this morning, you and I better be proficient. If we're not, we better get to that place about following the leader. Remember when maybe you heard the gospel for the first time, somebody came and brought you Campus Crusades of Four Spiritual Laws, and in that little handout, as you read through that, there is a throne. Remember that little cartoon, and there's a throne, And I remember somebody pointing this out to me, and I didn't understand a word the guy was saying, nor did I care, to be quite honest with you. And he had these various setups about who's on the throne. And you're supposed to pick the one that's got the cross on the throne, and not the one with ego on the throne. And I didn't understand the word ego, and so I just looked at that thing, and I said, well, this is the one. And the guy goes, no, that's not the right one. You're supposed to pick the one with the cross on it. And I said, well, you know what? I don't really care. And you need to care. Jesus, the cross, needs to be on the throne of your life so that you might be one who is sealed and bound for heaven. But what I have found out in many lives in the church, in Christianity, we put Jesus on the throne of our lives, but you know what? We seem to say to him, here, Lord, here's the keys to my life. And the moment we get inside the car and Jesus is behind the wheel, we start going down the road, and then we kind of mug him, I guess, and throw him in the back seat. And we take the wheel and say, thank you, Jesus, I got it from here. And we begin to steer along the way. And then all of a sudden, as Christians, we begin to ask questions like, why is my life so messed up? Where's God anyway? And Jesus is somewhere miles back there on a street corner saying, has anyone seen Jack anywhere? I saw him speed by a little while ago. We need to have God leading in our lives. And I'm encouraged by the message this morning because it is not all that clear to Paul. God's leading. Don't you think the apostles woke up in the morning and God said, okay, Paul the apostle, this is what I want you to do today. No, didn't happen that way. You think this big day timer fell out of the sky? Paul, at 9 o'clock, you're going to be meeting a man over here by the temple. He's going to... No. God does speak. And often in the forming of the New Testament times, God spoke audibly. And I had a friend, George, who is walking with the Lord. He's up in Long Beach area serving the Lord there. But he had a friend that when this guy accepted the Lord, he heard God speak. And he went on for about a month. And so when he was telling George about it, George thought that he must be lost. God must not love me. He doesn't speak to me audibly. But I've never had that happen. We're not always sure when God's speaking. But when we think he's speaking, we need to judge it according to the word. The Bible says in Isaiah 55, verse 8, I love this. Isaiah 55, 8 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. And I'm glad about that. For as the heavens are higher above the earth, so my thoughts and my ways are much higher than yours. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return, but waters the earth, and it makes it to bring forth bud and give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word go forth out of my mouth, and it shall not return to me void, for it shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper in the thing for which I have sent it. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. Isn't that neat? The Word goes out in Isaiah and accomplishes the task that God said it would. And John says in John 1, 1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in verse 14, John chapter 1, the Bible says, and the Word became human flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Concerning this word of life, the Bible says it is Jesus, and God has commanded that this gospel, what gospel? That Jesus Christ is Lord, be proclaimed around the world. And we're talking this morning about a missionary venture. The power of the message is Jesus Christ. So jot it down in your notes. First point is the making of a follower. Don't show me your hands. I don't want to embarrass anybody this morning. But how many of you would be able to say this morning, I'm a Christian? No doubt the bulk of us could say this morning, I'm a believer in Jesus. I'm a Christian. Well, listen, if you're a believer in Jesus, I want to ask you the next question. Are you a follower of him? To be a follower of him, you now qualify for that word disciple. It means a follower. If you're going to be a Christian, you need to be a disciple. You need to be a follower. That's one who studies the teachings of the master, a disciple. So in verses 1 to 3, we see the making of a follower. And I hope, I sure hope we cover this, because I'm blessed by the notes here, studying these things. And it's meant a lot to my life. So we'll go as fast as we can and cover as much as we can. So have your ready writer ready as we go through this. Verse 1. Then he, that is Paul, came to Derbe and Lystra. Remember Lystra? Those people, Paul came there before. They picked up stones and they stoned them. Lystra. Radical people. It's been 5 years now since Paul had been in this area. 5 years since his last visit. He preached the gospel. Many people believed in Jesus. One of them was a guy named Timothy. He's been a Christian for 5 years now. Paul comes back. They're revisiting the areas that they shared the gospel with, him and Silas, after the breakup of him and Barnabas last week. They came to the area of Derbe and of Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple. In your Bible, underline certain. I love it. Let's sneak ahead. Look at verse 14. Now, a certain woman. Whenever you see the word certain somebody, a certain man, a certain woman, a certain disciple, that means they're the focal point of the study. They have a very strong presence in the message. So we have a certain disciple. He was there, named Timothy or Timotheus, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was a Greek. Listen carefully. First of all, his name's Timotheus, Timothy. His name means dear to God. Theos is God. Timo is to be near him, to be near unto God. Timothy, isn't that a neat name? If your name's Timothy this morning, what a beautiful name. And I looked that name up and it says, dear to God, or near to God. One who's well acquainted with God. What a beautiful name. I looked my name up and people are asking me, isn't your name really John? I know we call you Jack. No, it is actually Jack. My name is really Jack. It's not John. I'm named after my dad's nickname. So I looked up Jack to get some inspiration. Jack, a man, a fellow, one who does odd jobs, a portable device used for raising objects, the male species of a certain set of animals, especially that of a jackass. I closed the dictionary and the little name book and went on to relish and enjoy and covet the name Timothy. Dear to God. Timothy was a convert of Paul. We've mentioned that just a moment ago. Paul introduced him to Jesus Christ. Jot it down. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2. In Paul's great pastoral epistle in the book of Timothy, he's writing a letter to Timothy while he was in that great prison there in Rome. Paul said to Timothy, a true son in the faith. Paul had given birth to him, so to speak, in the Spirit. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 19, Paul says there to the epistle to the people at Philippi, he says, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send to you Timothy soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. For I have no one in the ministry who is like-minded, who is sincerely interested in your state. Timothy was an awesome convert to Jesus Christ. The word sincerely in Philippians chapter 2, verse 20, is the word means true or without being false. He's a real convert. Reminding me of a story. Billy Graham was checking into a Marriott hotel. He stays in Marriott hotels wherever he goes in the world because he gets him and his staff get to stay there for free. And wouldn't you stay in a Marriott if you got it for free? And Billy Graham was walking in, and there was a drunk in the lobby. And the drunk said, Mr. Graham, Mr. Graham, I just want you to know that you've really changed my life. I'm one of your converts of years ago. And Billy Graham says, you must be a convert of mine. Because by the state that you're in, you're certainly not a convert of Jesus Christ. I thought that was great. Paul introduced Timothy to Jesus Christ. Timothy was converted to Jesus. Timothy was not converted to Paul. Good point. If we are true servants of Christ sincerely, we will point people to Jesus. We will decrease as Jesus increases. That is my prayer for this church. As this church continues to grow, may God increase as we decrease. And I'm asking for that. It may sound like an impossible thing, but as this church grows and grows in influence and in number, may we become invisible so that Jesus all the more might become visible. If a sinner is introduced to a man's ministry, that convert will eventually give up. But if a man is converted, if a sinner is introduced to Jesus and instructed to serve and follow Jesus as a disciple, then that man will never, listen, fall. He may stumble, but he'll never fall. Timothy was qualified to go into the ministry. Watch what happens here. It says that he was a son of a certain Jewish woman. She loved the Lord, this woman. We know about her through other portions of Scripture. But, circle the word but in verse 1. His father was a Greek. Not a geek, a Greek. But his father was a Greek. He came from a broken home. Broken home in the way of faith. His father didn't believe in Jesus. His mother did. And listen, for any of you right here this morning, maybe you are the one who has sanctified the home. Maybe you're a believer and your spouse is not, and you've got children and you're worrying, are they going to come out okay? Listen, in Timothy's case, he came out not only okay, he came out fine because his mother was committed to the Bible. And here is a young man. And what do young men do? What do young boys, forget young men, what do little tiny guys do? Daddy is their hero. Have you noticed, mom and dad, that in a point in time of your child's life, the little boy gravitates to the mother, and then there's a point in time when the boy gravitates to the father? And it's interesting, in later years, sociologists tell us and psychologists tell us that after time, in older life, the daughter eventually then gravitates to the father, and the son eventually gravitates toward the mother. What I like about that is that both parents have a chance to influence the child. But what's wonderful about your godly witness to your child is his word will not return void. You are giving your child the word of God, and you're wondering, you know, I give him the Bible, and then maybe it's a divorce situation, maybe not, but they've got to spend time now with their dad, and he's got maybe pornography hanging in the garage or dirty words or whatever it is. Listen, you give your child the word of God and God will do the rest. Pray for that child. Timothy came from a home that was split. His mother was a godly woman, but his father was a Greek. He was unbelieving. Certainly in that point in time, no doubt he was mixed up with cultural and pagan rites. I want to have you jot down a few things. Timothy became qualified for the ministry. How do we know this? And I'm going to have you jot these down in a moment. Look at verse 2. He was well spoken of by the brethren who are at Lystra and Iconium. So that Paul said in verse 3, I want him to go with us. I want him to come with me. Can you imagine? And so Paul took him and circumcised him. We'll get into this in a moment. I want to follow God. Don't you want to follow God? But you know what? I came from a broken home. Listen, with all due respect, please don't get angry with me. Don't write me a note. Listen. Don't waste your time. Listen. I don't care what kind of home you came from. I don't care what kind of boss you have. I don't care how your husband is. I don't care how your wife is. You've got Jesus Christ this morning, do you not? If you don't have Jesus, then you've got some whining to do. You've got some complaining to do, and you're justified. But if you this morning are a Christian and you've come from what's called a dysfunctional home, hang on to yourself, everybody. The word dysfunctional means not normal. And we have all come from dysfunctional homes. Tell me, what is a normal home? Every one of us in our own psyche, our own soul, our own thinking, thinks our life could have been a little bit better as we were kids. Why are you the way you are? Why am I the way that I am? I'll tell you what, it's not only because I grew up in a certain type of a home. I can honestly tell you, and so can you this morning, it's because of Jesus Christ. We can get so caught up at looking at what happened to us in the past that we strangle ourselves, that we're no good for the future. The future cannot have any hope for us because we're veiled. Well, this can't happen to me because I came from a dysfunctional past. Let your past be dysfunctional. Flush it and leave it and go on with it. Because God's got a plan for your life. And we so often say, well, it just didn't go all that well. Timothy could have said, Paul, sorry. I know I've got a good reputation among all the brethren here, but my dad was a non-believer. He wasn't a very good guy. He wasn't only a Greek, he was a geek. It was a tough life. No, he didn't say that. Jesus had changed him. He became a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ. And this is true for all of us. Jot this down. How do I change? I want to follow him. First of all, delight yourself in the Lord. That is the key to Timothy's life. He was, first of all, already a disciple. For 5 years, he had been a believer. 1 Timothy 4:12. Let no one, Paul said to Timothy, despise your youth. Don't let anybody put you down because you're young. But be an example of the believer in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Listen, I don't care how young you are. You need to be following Jesus Christ. And the proof of that is you'll have a life that is full of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Paul says, Timothy, don't let anybody put you down concerning how young you are. That ought to encourage you young people this morning. Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself also in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Do you believe that verse? It's a great verse. The word delight means to become soft. This is kind of weird. Listen to this. To become soft, to become pliable, to become luxurious, to become fragile. The word can also be translated feminine. And us guys go, not me. It means that when we step into the presence of Jesus, we lay down our weaponry, we lay down our defenses, we become pliable and soft, and as the word is, luxurious in his hands. You delight yourself in the Lord. How? Get up, read your Bible.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. In a presentation called Follow the Leader, a look at the first 15 verses of the book of Acts, chapter 16. On tomorrow's edition of Real Radio, we'll pick up with part 2 of this fascinating study. Listen, if you haven't yet visited SoCalProphecyConference.com, please make a note to do so. SoCalProphecyConference.com, where you'll be informed on the Prophecy Conference happening here at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills next month. Now, as we've been telling you, this isn't just another prophecy conference. You'll be intrigued by the prophecy material, to be sure, but unlike events in recent years, the contributors, the speakers, will pull no punches on the topic of what is possibly the greatest threat to Israel, the U.S., religious freedom, and in fact, global security. For the registration cost of $25 for the entire weekend event, it really is a good value. We simply want to get the word out. SoCalProphecyConference.com. SoCalProphecyConference.com. You can also call us toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. And if you're looking to make a contribution to Real Radio, all of which is tax-deductible, here's our address. Real Radio, Box 1273. Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.